Okay, nice to have everybody. We're on Daf Samachay today. So I'll begin two lines from the top on Samachay Medal 65a, two lines from the top. Okay, so the Mishnah in yesterday's Daf mentioned that there were three shifts. This is Shachatuto, Kol, Kahal, Dat Yisrael, Bein Arabayim. There's Kahal and Eida and Kahal, Dat Yisrael, right? And let me see what the Mishnah said. He says, yeah, Kahal Eida in Israel. So if you look two lines from the top, it says, Yatztakat Rishon V'chulei. So the Tana, the third line, Tana Tuan Abraisa, he nikrei Karatz Lanit. In other words, the third group is called like the lazy group. In other words, so the Gemara says, V'halo Sagid Lav Hachi, May Havel Lidhu Mebad. But they have to have a three groups. That's what it says. Shachotu Uto. Call Kahal Dat Yisrael Bein Arayim. That's what Torah says, three groups. So what do you call in the last one? Lazy group. Afilu hachi, yibaylu zaruze nafshayhu. They still should have like energized themselves, acted with greater alacrity, and become the first group. In other words, everybody who's in the third group is somewhat at fault for delaying it so much. Kidatanya, like we learn in the Braisa, Rebbe Omer, Yiv sholi olam below basam of Loburisi, the world can't subsist without a basam, is somebody in the perfume business, that's like a very nice line of work. And Bursi is a tanner, that's a very stinky, lousy line of work. Remember the Gemara says in Chagiga that if a person was a Bursi, he couldn't make a lila regel because it's like he stunk so much. So the Gemara says, Ashrei mishmato basam, oilo mishmato Bursi. Fortune is the person who's in the basam business, in the perfume business, and fortune is the person who's a bursi. He says, "V'yif sholi olam below zacharim below nekevot." The world can't subsist without male and female. We'll see in a minute. Asher mi shabanav zacharim oilo mi shabanav nekevot. Fortune is the person whose children are male, and fortune the one the female. Now I know it's coming, but I bet
you wish this were Sunday's daf.
I prepared a lot on this. So first
your rebuttal.
Okay, 1 minute. So first the R scroll has a shot. They say that the women, the reason it's like it's difficult if you have women who are daughters is because you're concerned like for them, like, you know, nobody should molest them, nobody should do anything to them. It's more like, you know, you want to make sure that they, you know, they get married off properly. It's more of an achrayas. But I saw, here's a different shot that I saw in the name of the Chasam Sofer. He says, Zachar in the cave out is a metaphor. Zachar is a notain, like someone who's giving. And a cave is a makabel. So it means, like, fortunate you if your children are people who give to society, and unfortunately if they're macablim. In other words, it doesn't mean male, female per se. It's describing like the nature of their you know, outlook or their disposition. So if they're givers versus takers. So fortunately if you have children who are givers, unfortunately you have you know, children who are takers. But the main idea is that, like, even though sometimes some things may be licit, you know, you don't want to be like in the last group. You want to be in the first group. You want to be Zariz. You want to be Zrizin Makdim LeMitzvot. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good? Okay.
Was it that were they given assigned times, or did they know that if we stagger ourselves, it'll be better? Maybe the people
No. No, it seems like the Mishnah, this is yesterday's daf. The Mishnah said at some point, I think they closed the doors to the base of Mikdash, and then they
the doors were closed.
Yeah, they were closed, right. So you see, you have different, clearly different sessions. All right, let's see further. I'm going to go further than the Gemara. Okay, now let's go back to the Mishnah on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph just for a line or two. 64a, if you look around six lines from the bottom, so the Tana of the Mishnah says on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, 64a, the Tana of the Mishnah says near the small chet, k'maaseh b'chol, the procedure during the week, kach maaseh b'shabbat, that was the procedure on Shabbat as well, ela shakonim adichim and azar shlober son chachamim, except that the Konim would rinse the Azara on Shabbat, Shlober Tzon Chachamim, not according to the wishes of the Chachamim. Okay? So it means that they would, you know, always rinse the Azara, but on Shabbat they would rinse it, and there was, you know, some halachic issue involved with that. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara on Samachim and Aleph. Okay? So we're at 10 lines from the top on Samachim and Aleph. So, Kemaaseh B'chol B'chulei, Shlober Tzon Man. So in whose Ratzon was it not according to? that, you know, if it's like this. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda Shloberson Reb Lezer. So Rav Chisda says it means it was not according to the opinion of the Tana Reb Lezer. It means the Chachamim were good with it, but Reb Lezer was not good with it. So the Gemara explains, Di Rabbanan Ha'armi Shvut Hu Bein Shvut B'Mikdash. According to the Chachamim, rinsing the floor would be prohibited normally on a Rabbanan level, on a rabbinic level, but since it's in the base of Mikdash, so there's a klal Ein Shvut B'Mikdash. There's no rabbinic prohibitions in the base of Mikdash, though subject to certain qualifications with that. So Maihi, so what's this machloket? The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa. Now the Braisa is going to mention different malachot. Okay, you have to be patient with this. Echad acholev, if a person milks a cow on Shabbat or Yantiv, so they're chayev for mefarek, which is a told of dash. Dash is when you're separating, you know, one thing from another thing. So here you're separating the milk from the cow. That's the cholev. That's a malacha, so you can't do it. From a chabetz, the person is like coagulating the milk, the cheese, you know, they're making cheese. So you threw like a little bit of the cave of the maw into the milk, and you're causing the cheese to curdle, the milk to curdle. So mechabetz is a malacha, and that seems to be borer. That's borer. You're separating out like the thin part of the milk from the thicker part of the milk. And then mahamagabein is you take the curds and you squeeze them together to form a cheese. He says that's bone. So kigrogrot. So if you do any of those things and you do it the size of a grogeret, which is a dried fig, so you're chayev for violating Shabbos or yantiv on a Torah level. He says, Hamachabed, and here's the part that we need especially, if a person sweeps the floor, Bahamarabates. Marabates is you have dust in the house or dust on the floor and you sprinkle water around so the dust will go down. He says, Baharoda Chalotavash, a person removes the honeycombs on Shabbat. So Bishogeg Bishabbat Chayav Chatat. So the Tanakama, which we'll see in a moment, is Reb Lezer, holds that on Shabbat, Bishogeg Chayav Chatat. Now, Mechabed and Merabeitz, he holds it's bona. In other words, because the dirt fills into the cracks, and he feels that that's bona. That's bona. And with the Roda, that's Tolesh. It's like Kotzer. And Rashi brings down this a Pasuk that's, we've had this before, but Rashi brings it down. If you look on the Rashi, it's like 1, 2, 3 lines below us. He dipped, this was with Yehonatan, he dipped his staff, biyarat hadavash. It describes the honeycomb as a yar, like a forest, but just the Gemara learns, just like with a forest, and I like pull like a branch off a tree, I'm high for tolesh, so here too tolesh. Okay, so back in the Gemara, so if I do b'shabas, I'm chai v'chatat, Hazid b'yom tov lo kedar ba'im divrei Reb Lezer. If on yantiv I act b'mezid, I'm chayav malkot. Now, the key is that whether you do it on Shabbos or yantiv, so you're chayav for malacha d'orais. That's the key. Now, they quoted in the article from the Shita Mekubetzet, and I saw the Masipta quoted this as well. So the Shita Mekubetzet has in a different Gemara, Masechet Beya. In other words, why does the Gemara say Mezid by Yantiv and Shogeg by Shabbos? You'd expect it to all be, you know, Mezid and Shogeg by Shabbos or Mezid and Shogeg by Yantiv. So the Shita Mekubetzet says, like, Chilul Shabbos by Mezid was very rare. So the Tana doesn't want to say Chilul by Shabbos. That's such a rare thing. So he does, so he says Shogeg by Shabbos. That's more common. And then, so for Yantiv, he can't mention Shogeg by Yantiv. So the only thing left by Yantiv is Mezid. So that's the way that he says it. But the main point is, let's go further, we'll come. The Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, Echad Zeh v'Echad Zeh, Ein Ela Mishum Shvut. So again, the Tanakhama holds, all of those items were malachot on a Doraisa level, on a Torah level. And we want to focus on Mechabed and Merabed, sweeping and sprinkling the water on the dust. So the Tanakhama, Reb Lezer holds, those are malachot Doraisa. And the Chamim hold, no, they're only rabbinically prohibited. Now, Echad Zeh v'Echad Zeh, the way Rashi learns, it's the last three. In other words, that was the Mechabed, Merabeitz, and Roda Chalot Devash. That's what Rashi learns. Echad Zeh v'Echad Zeh, Ein Ela Mishum Shvut. That's a Shvut. Now, the So stated the way we have it here, so it means like this. So in the Beis HaMikdash, when there was a channel that went through the Beis HaMikdash. You had in yesterday's daf, there was like a water channel that went through the Azara. So on Erev Pesach, they would block off the drain and or the point of, you know, exit for the water, and the place would fill up with water. And then the whole place would be, you know, like awash with all the blood and everything, and then they would let it all drain out. So according to the Chachamim, in other words, the issue is, Rashi takes it, it's an issue of Mechabed, but we'll see in a minute, others learn that it's the Din of Merabates, but whichever way it is, it's like with the, either similar to sweeping up the dirt, or to like watering the dirt and dropping it down. Either way, it's a Din of Bona. So the Tana Reb Lezer holds that that's prohibited on a Duraisa level. The Chamu holds only Durabanan level. So it means, so the first shot we're saying in the Gemara is that they would do this on Erev Pesach, Shelo Beretzon Chachamim, means not in the Ratzon of Reb Lezer, but indeed, most of the Chachamim felt it was okay. That's the pshat. Now, there's other Rishonim learn the Sugi differently. They learn, Echad Zeh, let's see that line in the Braisa again. It says near the small Gimel, so they learn that whether it's Shabbos or whether it's Yontif, see Rashi learned, whether it's Mechabed, Merabed, or Roda, that's the way Rashi learned. Other Rishonim learn, whether it's Shabbos or it's Yontif, it's Shvut, it's a Drabanan, but it's only talking about Merabed, and there was not any other ones. The other ones, they all agree, are Malacha Doraisa. But Merabates, which is sprinkling the water on the dust, that's the point of dispute between them. But either way, at the end of the day, it still comes out the same. All right? Now, let me just do three more lines, and then I will pause, and then we'll ask all our questions, okay? So, now again, so we're trying to explain what does it mean that they would et azara, they would wash, they would rinse the azara, shelo birson chachamim, not according to the wishes of the chachamim. So the first pshat means not according to the wishes of the Tana Reb Lezer, but all the other chachamim agreed with it. Now the second pshat is, Ravashi amar, afilu tema shelo birson chachamim, you could say, no, it does mean that it was not in the ritzon of the chachamim, you know, generally the chachamim, he says, Rabbi Natan he, the Tanya, in other words, the Chachamim hold it's a Din Drabanan. This is an Easter Drabanan, rinsing the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. But it was not Person Chachamim. Why? Because it's going Rabbi Natan he. It's within Rabbi Natan's view, within the Chachamim. The Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer, Shvut Sricha Hitiru, Shvut She'ena Sricha Lo Hitiru. The Tanya, Rabbi Natan says, if it's a Shvut was necessary for the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, that they were matir. If Shvut's not necessary for the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, they weren't matir. So this was not necessary because they could have washed out the Azar of the Beis HaMikdash the next day. So within that ukimta, so it was not Peritzon Chachamim. But there are other Chachamim who disagree and say, no, all the Shvuts are permitted in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Now, even with this, remember, I know Michael always asks me about the Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. So there's a Turei Evan. He says not every Shvus is permissive in the Beis HaMikdash. I was talking this with Rabbi Packer today. He was saying that, in other words, you could have things which are totally extraneous to the Beis HaMikdash, and those you don't have any heter with it. And then this one, both sides are a little closer to being necessary, but this is still judged like whether it's like, you know, front and center necessary for the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so again, let's just repeat, then we'll take some questions. So with the question was how to understand the line in the Mishnah that they would be madichim, they would rinse the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash, shelo b'ritzon chachamim, not the ritzon chachamim. So the first pshat was not b'ritzon the Tana Reb Lezer. In other words, but the chachamim agree with it, because Reb Lezer holds that it's either mechabit or merabit, is a din d'oraisa, and when you're rinsing the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, that's what you're doing. But the Chachamim held that it was a din d'shvus, it was just a prohibited Rabbanan level, and you have a heter to do it. That's the first shot. Second shot is, no, even the Chachamim hold it's Rabbanan, but the Chachamim don't agree with this, according to Rabbi Natan. According to Rabbi Natan, only shvut tzricha hitiru. If the shvut is imperative for the avoda, then you have a heter to do it. If it's not imperative, you don't have a heter to do it. And here they could have washed out the Azara, you know, a day or two later. After Yantiv, they could have washed it out. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far?
This is only if Chag falls out on Shabbat, correct?
Right, that's correct. All right, any other questions? All right, nice to have a nice chevra here today. Nice chevra. All right, let's keep moving. All right. So we're 10 lines from the bottom on Samachay Amid Aleph, okay? 65a, 10 lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kosi Amalei V'chulei. Let's go back to the Mishnah now on Samach Dalet Amid Aleph. 64a, go back to the Mishnah, one page. Let's go back 5 lines from the bottom, okay? Again, Samach Dalet Amid Aleph, 64a, 5 lines from the bottom. It says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kosi Amalei Midam HaTarovet. Rabbi Yehuda says that they would fill one cup from all the blood that had mixed on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the whole floor is filled with all this blood. They would dip down and take a cup with all the mixed blood. He says, Zarakah Zrika Chal Gabei HaMizbeach, and that the Kohen would do one Zrika with the mixed blood on the Mizbeach. Lo Hodu Lo Chachamim. The Chachamim didn't agree with that. All right? All right, let's go back to the daf on Samachayim and Aleph. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kosei Amamali B'chulei, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kosei Amamali Midama HaTarovot, that the Braisa is elaborating on what we just learned in the Mishnah. So the Braisa says that they would fill one cup with the blood of all the mixed bloods, Shim Shafeich Tamo Shalachad Mehem, Nitzzeh Machshiro. Because if somebody, in other words, you have all these Korbanot Pesach, so if one of the cups with the blood from one of the Korbanot spilled on the floor, so it all mixes all the blood together. So it's like a fail-safe method, like a backup. So if I'll pick up a cup of blood and all the blood is all mixed up together, so I'll have a little bit of all the blood, of all the korbanot in it, and do zrika with it. So Amr lo Rabbi Yehuda, so the Chum said to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, well, lo nitkabel b'kli. But it was never, never received into a kli. So in other words, when the whoever's doing the shechita on the animal, so the Kabbalah Saddam has to be done by a Kohen. A Kohen has to receive the blood in a Kli Sharet. So, but if the blood went onto the floor, it wasn't accepted in a Kli Sharet, so it's not going to be a good Zrika. The good Zrika, and it's only if it was in the Kabbalah in a Kli Sharet. So the Gemara interrupts the Braisa. We were doing the Braisa, now we're interrupting the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Min Yadeh, how does Chamim know that? How do they know that it wasn't the Kabbalah of a Kli Sharet? Elahachi Kamrile, the Gemara says it's right. What do they say? Shemelon a Kabbalah B'Kli. Maybe it wasn't, they don't know if it was accepted in a Kli Sharet or not, but maybe it wasn't accepted in a Kli Sharet. So Amar Lahen, so now back to the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says to the Chachamim, Afnilo Marti Elben a Kabbalah B'Kli. So I'm talking about if Lu Yetzur, the blood was accepted in a Kli Sharet and then it spilled, this will help out with the situation. So now the Gemara again breaks off from the Braisa, Minayado. He says, how does he know that it was nitkabel b'kli? How does Rabbi Yehuda assume that the blood was received in a kli? So he says, konim's reason hain. Because the konim, the Gemara takes as a klal, konim are very diligent, and they're really up on their game. So there is such reason, so must be that the blood, mistama, is nitkabel b'kli. So he says, is reason amai mishtapich. If there's such a reason, they're so diligent, how did the blood get spilled in the first place? So the Gemara says, Agav Zrizu Taihu Da'avdi Mishtapech. Like through their, like they're trying to do it so eagerly and so quickly, so that's how it spilled. That's how the Gemara has the scenario it spilled. So the Gemara says, V'lo Dama Tamsit Mu'urabo, but Dama Tamsit is the draining blood. So the Gemara Masechet Krisis learns 5 types of blood that come out of the animal. But the only 2 you need for today's daf is the Dama Nefesh, which is the spurting blood, which is the one you have to do Zrika with. And Dama Tamsit is the draining blood, the blood that drains out after, sort of gurgles out afterwards. So there's much more Dama Tamsit than Dama Nefesh. So the floor is filled with all this blood, but the rove is going to be Dama Tamsit. And that's not kosher for the Zrika on the Mizbeach. So Dama Tamsit Murabo. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Latame Damar Dama Tamsin Dama Alyu. So the Gemara says, which shita are we analyzing? The Tana Rabbi Yehuda. He's the one who said that the Kohen will take one Kli Sharet and get a get fill it with blood and do zrika on the mizbeach. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that dama tamsid is dama alyu. Now it means like this: the Torah says don't eat any dam, don't consume dam blood, and if you consume blood, you're chayiv karet. So normally we say the chayiv karet is only for the dama nefesh. In achinami, you're not allowed to have other blood, right? That's what we're always like, salting the meat and clearing the blood out from the meat. But other blood is just a lav. Not that a lav is so insignificant, but it's not. But the Gemara assumes that since the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says Dama Tamsit is also a chiv karet, we think that he'll also agree that Dama Tamsit would be kosher for Zrika. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, four lines from the bottom, Dama Tamsit Bazhara. If it's Dama Tamsit, which is the draining blood, it's only a lav, a negative commandment. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Behi Karet. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says it's Yerchayv Karet. So if that's the case, so then our problems are solved. All the blood, it'll be chayv karet, and all the blood is good for zrika. So the Gemara says, va'amar Reb Lazar, but Reb Lazar says, motor Reb Yehuda linin kapara she'enu mechaper, that even the Tana Reb Yehuda says, you're chayv karet for all the blood, but in Achinami, he's moda, that there is a difference between dama nefesh and dama tamsit in terms of kapara on the mizbeach. He says, Shenemar, ki adam hum banefesh yichaper, that the blood is the nefesh. Turn page on Samachem Bey is the top line. He says, dam she nefesh yotzebo mechaper, the blood that the life of the animal leaves with, departs from him, which is the dama nefesh, that brings kapara. Dam she'ina nefesh yotzebo ein mechaper. If it's not that blood, it doesn't bring kapara. All right, so the question is reinstated. So again, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says he's going to take one of the klisharet and lift up, a jug full of blood and do zrika on the mizbeach, but most of it is dama tamsit. And so we think that the miut, which would be dama nefesh, would be batel barov. So let's see, the Gemara says on the second line, and this will be perhaps a refresher for Dafyomi people who did chulin with me. Ela Rabbi Yehuda ta'amei da'amar ein dama vatel dam. Rabbi Yehuda shitato holds that blood is not mevatel blood. Stated differently, or you tell me, how do we say this? Say again?
You have two kinds of blood in there.
Yeah, let me just hear like the quick. What's the line in the Gemara that
David said it?
What did David say? Yeah, that's it. Okay. Now let's see back in the Gemara. One second. All right, 1 minute.
Can I ask a question though?
Yeah, give me two lines, and then I'll open up all questions. Okay. He says damvat. So he says. Okay, let's pause. Okay, let me hear the questions. Go ahead.
No, just they said on yesterday's doc that these bowls had a point,
right?
So that they wouldn't spill.
No.
They wouldn't put it
down.
You
should be careful, and you wouldn't put it down.
Wouldn't put it down. In other words, if you put it down, then we're afraid it's going to coagulate, right? So we want to keep it that's in motion.
In other words, it has nothing to do with spillage?
No.
Okay.
All right, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, let's go further. Okay, now, let me take a look. All right, let's see further. Okay, so we're on the third line on Samachem Bay, 65B, the third line. Okay, Tanya, Amar Lehen Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda said to the Chachamim, L'Devreichem. So again, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that I'm going to take one of the klisharet and pick up all the blood and spill it, put on the mizbeach. So Tanya, in the Braisa we learn, Amala and Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim, L'Devreichem, Lam Pokin and Azara. He said, everybody agrees that they would plug up this drainage hole and that the whole place would fill with like this water and blood. So according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, I understand. Like, well, now we have a whole mixture and he'll take it and he'll sprinkle on the mizbeach. But according to you, Chachamim, that you can't do that. So then, that you don't do that. So then, why are they doing that? So Amrulo Shevachul Bnei Aaron Shelchu Adar Kuvutein Badam. They did it because it's like a praiseworthy for Bnei Aaron, for the Kohanim, to walk up to their knees wading through the blood. We'll see in a minute. So the chorus is Vaha Kachayitz. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the blood, won't that be a chatzitza? In other words, the Kohanim walk barefoot in the Beis HaMikdash, and their feet have to be on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. So if there's blood all over the place, won't that be a chatzitza, an interruption between their feet and the floor? says lahu veinu chotzeis. The Gemara says the blood is liquid blood, so it's not a chatzitza. Kitatani, like we learn in the Braisa, hadam badyo v'chalav v'hadavash, that blood and ink and milk and honey yiveshim chotzin. If they're dried out, then it's chatzitza. He says lachin in chotzin. So the Gemara says v'hakametavse manaihu. But if they're walking through the blood, they're going to stain their garments. He says v'tani. We learn in the Braisa. If the Kohen's garments were stained, so is Avodah's psula. So how can they walk to their knees in blood? So he says, maybe you'll say they lift up their garments. In other words, they pull it up, I guess the pants or whatever. He says, but it says, like his tunic should be well-fitted, like the well-fitted tunic. He says, Mido Kemidato. It has to be his Mido Shlo Yechsar Velo Yotir. It has to be carefully tailored for that Kohen, and he can't be shorter, can't be longer. I assume he's talking about the, like, even though he's got a ketonet, but I assume he's talking about, like, the Mechnesayim, the pants. He says, so the Gemara says, Beholacha Devarim Lekevesh, the love of Odehim, that they would walk through the pool of blood when they were bringing the limbs to the ramp of the Mizbeach, which is not Navoda. That's what the Gemara thinks. So it's not Navoda, so it doesn't matter if the garment's lifted up. So he says, Velo, it's not Navoda, Vahamidabai Kuhuna Avodahi. If it requires a Kohenim to do it, so it is an Avoda. Tatani, we learn in the Braisa, Vekriva Kohenim Akol Mizbecha, that the Kohen will bring it all to the Mizbeach, Zuhu Lachadivarim Lekevesh. That's referring about bringing the limbs to the ram. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's an avoda, that he would need to keep the garments long and so forth. Ela bolachat eitzim l'maracha d'lav avodahi. So the Gemara says they would walk up to their knees in blood when they were bringing the wood for the mizbeach, which is not an avoda. So the Gemara says bolachat avram l'kevesh ulachat dam miyei hechiazli. He says, but if that's the case, so what do they do? They got all the blood there. So what do they do when they need to bring the Avarim to the ramp? Or when they have to bring the Dom to the Mizbeah? They're walking through this whole pool of blood and they can't, you know, stain their garments. So Gemara says, Damaskia Itzdebe. They had like ledges of upraised platforms in the Azara that they were able to walk on those upraised platforms and avoid getting soaked in the blood. All right. Now, All right. Any questions so far, and anything I did so far? Anybody? Okay. Let me just 1 minute. Let me get something here. Okay. There's a piece here from the Al Hadaf. This is from Rav Zev Dickstein. We mentioned about the chatzitza. Okay. So the Mishnah in Masechet Tzvachim, Hadaf Tetvav, says the Kohanim have to be directly on the floor. That we did. Now, and we've mentioned about the, he says, when a Tamei person immerses in a mikveh, he may not have foreign matter attached to his body, but this would constitute chatzitza. The Gemara in Erevin Adaf Dalet says, however, that if the attached object is of no concern to the individual, it's eino makpid, it's not considered chatzitza. The Ramah rules regarding the laws of tevila in a mikveh that dry blood is not considered a chatzitza. For someone whose profession brings him in constant contact with blood, such as a butcher, because he doesn't have a kapeda to blood. In other words, halacha is, if it's a miyacheno makpid, if it covers a small part of the body, and the person's not makpid, so then it's not a chatzitza. So the Ramah says, let's say a person's a butcher, and he wants to be tovel in a mikveh, and he has some blood on him. He's got some specks of dry blood on him. So the Ramah says that's not a chatzitza. Since he's a butcher, he's not makpid on a little bit of blood. I'm on blood all the time. I have blood, so it's me to chain a makpid. So he says, no, the Rabbanan, whoever instituted all foreign objects should be removed before the tevila, or even something in the blood. In other words, you should get rid of everything, but let's focus on the etzem halacha. So the Shvus Yaakov finds difficulty with the Ramah's ruling because our Gemara indicates that dry blood on a kohen is considered a chatzitza, even though a kohen, just as a butcher, is constantly involved with the slaughter of animals. So focusing on this halacha, the Ramah says, if he's a butcher and he's got a small speck of blood, it's not a chatzitza. He's not makpid on it. So the Shvus Yaakov, who lived in the 18th century in Germany, so he says that he does not agree with that. He says, you see, that here the Kohanim, they were involved with blood all the time. And yet the Gemara says that but for the fact that the blood is moist, it would be a chatzitza. So it doesn't have a stira. So the Beis Yitzchak And he answers this question, points out that even Israel is permitted to slaughter a korban. Moreover, he cites the Zohar mentioned above, mentioned in yesterday's daf, the Al Adafted, that in general the Kohanim refrain from performing shechita in order not to soil their big day kahuna. In other words, so in a chinami, in general, the Kohanim, according to the Zohar, would avoid doing shechita because they didn't want to get blood on their garments. Kohanim, therefore, are not in the same category as butchers who are constantly slaughtering animals. So if the Kohanim are avoiding shechita, so the Beis Yitzchak is defending the Ramah. It's not the same. In other words, the Kohanim, they're careful that they stay away from the, it sounds a little strange because they're involved with blood all the time, but they avoid getting blood on their garments or in contact with the blood. And whereas the butcher, he's always involved with the blood. Okay, let me just do one or two more paragraphs and I'll pause. The Lacha Ketana rules that dry blood on the hands of a Moel is not considered a chatzitza, and if permits the Moel to wash his hands for bread, Netilas Yadayim, even when there's some dry blood on his hand. In other words, the Moel, you know, obviously with the bris all the time, so he's got blood, and, it, you know, I would want to wash my hands from the blood anyway, but he says the Moel, who has some dry blood on his hand, it can wash his hands for Netilas Yadayim. He says he argues that just as the Gemara considers it admirable for the Kohen to tread in the blood of Korbanot, it is also admirable for a Moel to have blood on his hands, for that signifies his passion for bris milah. Consequently, the halacha Ketano reasons that a moel is not makpid about blood on his hands, and therefore it's not considered a chatzitza. That's the way the halacha Ketano says. So the Shvus Yaakov disagrees with the halacha Ketano and points out an inherent flaw in the proof. Our Gemara indicates that although it is admirable for a kohen to walk in blood, it is considered a chatzitza after it dries. This proves contrary to the halacha Ketano that despite the fact that blood on a moel is an admirable mark, it's still considered a chatzitza when it dries. In other words, even though, you know, it's a shevach for the Bnei Aaron to walk in the blood, it would still be a chatzitza when it dries. And the same thing with the moel. It might be a shevach that he's get blood, but on his hands, but he needs to wash it off. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, nice chevri here tonight. Well, boy, we have 14 people and me, 15 altogether. All right, we bumper crap. Okay, let's finish off the perek, and then Blin Eder will do the next perek. All right? So now we're up to five lines before the end of the perek on Samachema Beis. Okay, so Ketzad Tolin Mavshit Mechulei, Keruva Hod Siwet Emurab, Netanab Megis, and it says Vihikti Ram, Vihikti Ram is the way the Gilyon HaShas corrects the Gemara. So it means that they would flay the animal, they would take out the Emurim. The Emurim are those, you know, organs that have to be burnt on the Mizbeach, and put it in a Megis. Now, put it in a bowl. So, but there's not a Kohen who's flaying the animal. But it sounds like that this person is going to offer, like, unless he's got to take the kidneys out, the chelev out, he's got to the parts that go on the Mizbeach. So he says, Atu hu gufa havamakti lahu, is the person who's doing the flaying going to offer on the Mizbeach? He's not a Kohen. So Ema lahakti ran al gabizbeach. It means put it in a keli for the purposes of being offered on the Mizbeach. Not that he himself, the one who did the flaying, would do it. Yetz takat rishona b'chulei. We said that so the groups would leave, and then Tana teach taught in a braisa, everybody would put the Korban Pesach in its hide. In other words, the hide was flayed off the animal. They put the animal in its hide. He says, umafshil la'achurav, and then like throw it over on his back. I'm Rav Ilish Tayot. Rav Ilish says Tayot like an Arab. So by the way, this is, I thought, related to what you would ask me yesterday, Michael, about where Michael asked me about whether how much time it would take to cook, or Joyce had asked how much time it would take to cook the Korban Pesach. Now the Korban Pesach is within the first year of the lamb's life. And I was looking online to see how much the lamb would weigh. But if you get, let's say, a 6 week old lamb, it doesn't weigh that much. But but you see that they can carry it over your shoulder. So that tells you about, like, you know, the weight of the lamb. Now, there's a piece here in the Moroda Daf Yomi. He says that everybody, the Mefarshim, are all bothered. What is Rav Ilish telling me? So Rav Ilish, like, what is he coming to teach me that they threw it over their back or whatever? So so he quotes here, some of the Mefarshim say that that throwing the Korban Pesach back over a person's back doesn't seem like derech kavod. So so he says that Rav Yaakov Emden points out, and as I go, so Rav Ilish has come to emphasize that even though throwing the Korban over the back is like derech ishmeilim, it's not mechabi, the person who's carrying the korban, it's ra'ui l'adam l'zalzel b'chvodo b'shvim l'tzitav shel kodesh baruch hu. It's ra'ui for a person to like give up some of his kavod for the sake of performing the mitzvot. In other words, like, you know, let's say the person's, he's a prominent doctor, but now he's bringing the korban pesach, he's got to carry it over his back. That's ra'ui for the mitzvot. And he quotes, like, by David HaMelech, says, Unikaloti od mizot. Remember, there's an incident where David HaMelech is dancing in the street. Not this one. Wait a second. I thought somebody wanted to get in here. No? Okay. Did I miss somebody? All right. Anyway, so David HaMelech is dancing in the street, and his wife, Michal, the daughter of Shaul, says, look what's become of you. You look terrible. You look like a shlob, but whatever. He was dancing before the Aron. He says, I'm happy to debase myself even further for this, for the Kavod of Hashem. So that's one pshat, what Rav Ilish is coming to teach. Then he quotes, then he says, some say that throwing it on a person's back is not a kavod for the Korban Pesach, but Rav Ilish is madgish this. He emphasizes this as permissible. He says even though if it would be a Sefer Torah, it's prohibited. In other words, to carry a Sefer Torah, on my back, that wouldn't be derech kavod. But the Korban Pesach, though, it is permissible to do it. Then he quotes Rav Yecheskel Landau Prague, the Slach. He asks also on this. He says that it's a different chiddush. So Tosos has a question, how much hafshata are you allowed to do on Pesach? In other words, when you pull a hide off, that would normally be an av malacha. So how much of the hide am I allowed to pull off the animal, to do the avoda when it falls out on Shabbos, like this year, whenever Pesach's on Shabbos? So he says, so the Tosfos points out, the fact that the Mishnah says that they would put the animal in the hide shows you that indeed they would take the whole hide off the animal, and that's permissible. Then he quotes from Bezalel Zsolti, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim. He also asks, how come the Rabbam leaves out this din of notein pisco b'oro? And he says that kachimar nifsal behesek adas, that kachim, if I lose my focus on the kachim, I have to always be focused on where it is and what's going on with it. So if I don't keep that focus, this hesek adas. And he says, just like the mei efer para, like the ashes with the water that are mixed, the mei chatat. He says, so by the mei efer para, so you're not supposed to like throw it over your back because of Hesek Hadas. It's a Mishnah Masechet Para. So how is this permissible at the Pesach? So he says that that if you carry two barrels, you could put one behind you because EF Shar, and then that's the derech to carry two barrels. I guess two barrels with the water with the Para Aduma. So Rav Ilish is coming to saying, why are you allowed to throw the Pesach after you? Because that's the derech Yishmaelim to carry an animal Be'ora, and that's not, does not medina Hesek Hadas. Meaning, if I'm carrying it in the way, I guess, that people normally would carry it, that's not considered Hesek Hadas. And so Mamela, that's what he's coming to teach me. So he says, the Rambam left it out, that now is not the derech to carry it that way. So now it is Nesar from it. Then he mentions, he mentions one other pshat. He quotes from a Rav Zion Kreuzer. He says that it's known from the Sifrei Zohar that the Kochos Atuma want to connect themselves to Gedima Kulas. It means like the Korban Pesach. So he says, he's teaching you carry it in its hide to be master the gedi from the mazikim, so that they'll think that he's just carrying like a load. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did? Everybody good? All right, let's go on. All right. So let's take a look. So Hadron Lach Tamid Nishkat Yesh Koach, you just completed another parak in Shas. You're going through it like a hot knife through butter, and we're more than halfway through the Masechta, marching towards the Siyum on Sunday, March 22nd, which looks like we'll still be with the COVID, but hopefully getting better. All right, let's take a look further. All right, now, the Korban Pesach is Docha Shabbos, so there's a brisa later on Daf Ayin Zion, when Michal Shimon's going to join us for Daf Yomi on Shabbos in 12 days on Ayin Zion. So it says B'moado. So it says V'yasu b'nei Yisrael Pasach B'moado. The Klal Yisrael should keep the Korban Pesach B'moado in its set time in Parshat Balotcha. And it says by the Korban Tamid B'moado. He says Tishmru Lakrivli B'moado. And then it says Olat Shabbat B'Shabbato. The Alolat HaTamid V'Neska, that the Korban Ola, the Korban Tamid is also brought on Shabbat. So Mamela, and Rav Kati quoted this, but it's on Daf Ayin Zion. So Mamela, we know the Korban Pesach Stocha Shabbos. So now we have to figure out what exactly, which you know, procedures with the Korban Pesach or Docha Shabbos. Okay? So Eilu Korban Pesach Tochin on Shabbat. The following items are Docha Shabbos. This is Shechita To. It's Shechita. Shechita is an Av Malacha. But the Korban Pesach is, again, normally it's just the Korban Tzibur we do in Shabbat. Korban Pesach is not exactly a Korban Tzibur, though it has aspects similar to a Korban Tzibur. The Shechita is Docha Shabbos. Uzrika Damo, the Zrika of the blood is also Docha Shabbos. So Tosos learns, the first line in Tosos, Zrika Damo Tana Agav Shechita To. Tosos learns that Zrika, there's no problem with Zrika whatsoever. It's just thrown in here because of Shechita. But other Rishonim learn differently. Other Rishonim learn that the Zrika would normally be prohibited on a Rabbanan level, either because the Zrika is metakein, it's a type of tikkun, now it permits me to eat the meat, so it should be prohibited on a Rabbanan level, or it might be muksa. I was talking to Rabbi Aviam Levinson, he thought because it was Nolan. Anyway, but notwithstanding that, the Zrika is permissible. So Shechito is Rigatamo. Michui Kravav is cleaning out the intestines. The intestines are filled with what intestines are normally filled with, which is soa. So Rashi later on points out that they would cut the intestines, and then everything would come spilling out of the intestines. So so it's the Kubdi Malacha of Dash. One pshat is Dash. I saw a different pshat that it might be Mamachik smoothing out. I spoke to Rabbi Packer today. He thought like because you're squeezing the intestines, everything's getting squeezed out, so it's like Mamachik. Anyway, so Michui Kravav is still permissible on Shabbat because it can't be delayed. It's going to like otherwise stink up the whole animal. He says V'hachtarat Chalavav, and you're burning the Chalavim. So burning the Chalavim could be because of Bishol, or it could be because of Mavir, like adding sort of like fuel to the fire. It says, but they're all those items are all permissible. Aval, but Sliato, roasting it, you know, cooking it is not allowed to do on Shabbat. Vahadachat Kravav is washing off the intestines. In other words, even though you had Michui, you had most of the stuff getting out of it, but there's still some refuse there, so you still needs to be washed off. That can wait till the evening. That you'll do after nightfall. Einan dochen Shabbat. That's not docha Shabbat. Harkavato, carrying the live animal to the Beis HaMikdash, so it's hotza'a on Shabbat, that's not permissible. Now, harkavato, it would not be a malacha deraisa, even if I walk through the Rishus HaRabim, because chai no seir atzmo, that it's a living creature, so it would only be prohibited on a drabbanan level. So harkavato, v'havato mi chutzat kum, and carrying it outside the Tchum Shabbos, which is also a drabbanan. He says, "V'chatichat yabelto, cutting off the yabelet is a wart. If the animal has a wart, so I want to cut it off. I'll do it kala achar yad. That would be a told of gozes, but now it's just the drabanan. Ain't dochen on Shabbat. Those are not docha Shabbos because those things I should have done before Shabbat. Things that I could have done before Shabbos and I didn't do before Shabbos are not docha Shabbos." Reb Lezer Omer Dochen. The Tan Reb Lezer says they are Docha Shabbos. Now, Amar Reb Lezer, Valo Dinhu. Now, according to the Tan Reb Lezer, so let's see in a minute. So it means that according to the Tan Reb Lezer, those things are Docha Shabbos. So Amar Reb Lezer Valo Dinhu, it's logical. Umaim Shechita Sheim Shemalacha Dochet Shabbat. If I'm allowed to Shechita on the animal, even though that's Malacha Doraisa, he says, Elu Shem Mishum Shvud, those things that are just prohibited to Rabbanan level, like carrying it and taking it Chutzit Chum, all those other things, so certainly Lo Yidchu at a Shabbat, shouldn't those be Docha Shabbos as well? So if the Doraisa is permissible, shouldn't the Rabbanan also be permissible? So now let's set this up. Now we got to get Reb Lezer on one side, Amar Lo Rabbi Yeshua. So Reb Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua are Bar Pluktis throughout Shas. So remember, those are the two that took out Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai from Yerushalayim. So Amar lo Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shu, who put him in Cherem eventually, said to Rabbi Lezer, Yom Tov Yochiach. Yom Tov is going to prove that your line of argument is not correct. He says, "Shi'itiru bo mishum malacha." You're allowed to cook on Yantiv, which would be a malacha deraisa. Tzarech ochal nefesh is permissible. He says, "Va'asir bo mishum shvut." Notwithstanding that, I can't bring an animal from outside the tchum. I can't carry an animal on Yantiv to cook. So even though the malacha of cooking is permissible, the rabbanans are not permissible. So the same thing here. Amar lo Reb Lezer, Maza Yoshua. So Reb Lezer says, what type of argument is that? Mam Raya Rishut La Mitzvah. How can you compare Rishut? You're talking about a situation, you decide you want meat, you don't decide you want to meat, you need to eat or not eat, the specific food. So that's Rishut. Here we have a mitzvah. Here the Torah says you're obligated to bring the Korban Pesach. I think if you're obligated to bring the Korban Pesach, everything falls by the wayside. But the Tana Rabbi Yeshua will say back that he involved, and this is the way Rav Kahati had it, that indeed he views the chila on Yantiv as a mitzvah as well. Now, Heshiv Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Akiva gets into the fray. So we have Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Lezer says he thinks everything should be put by the side for the Korban Pesach. Shua says, no, only Doraisa, not the Rabbanan, or the Rabbanans you could have done before Yantiv, but not going to push it away. So Rabbi Akiva is on Rabbi Yeshua's side. And Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Lezer. Okay? So remember, Rabbi Akiva is the one who comes and tells him he's been placed in the Cherem, and the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin says he came to see him when he was on his deathbed. So he says, Heshiv Rabbi Akiva va'amar hazah tochiach. He says, Hazah will prove that the fallacy of your arguments, Rebbe. In other words, Hazah is, let's say a person was Tameh, he needs to be sprinkled with the water or mixed with the ashes of the Paraduma on Erev Pesach. He says, Shehumi Shom Mitzvah, there's a mitzvah involved because he wants to be able to proceed with his Korban Pesach and eat the Korban Pesach. If he's Tameh, he can't do that. He says, Vehimi Shom Shvut. Nevertheless, there's a Shvut in sprinkling somebody on Shabbos and on Yantiv. So the Shvut, I assume, is being mitaken. That's what I assume. We'll see in a minute. One minute. Let me just see. What does he have here? I think, what does Rashi say that? One second. Yeah, mitaken gavra. The bottom line in Rashi. He says it's mitaken gavra. So back in the Gemara, he says, v'him shem shvut, v'eino docha et a Shabbat. Hazah doesn't push away Shabbos either. So even though it's a Drabanan, and there's an underlying mitzvah, the same mitzvah you're talking about, bringing the Korban Pesach, it doesn't get pushed away. Afato al tetmal elu. Sha'afo pi she'in yishum mitzvah, behem yishum shvut. Even though there's a mitzvah from you're trying to do, but there's a Drabanan involved, lo yudhu et ha-Shabbat. Amalu Reb Lezer, v'alei ani dan. So Reb Lezer says, I want to weigh in on Hazah as well. I'm consistent with Shit Lafi Shitati. Umaim Shchita Shim Shumalacha Dochara Shabbat, just like Shchita is Docha Shabbos, so Hazah Shim Shum Shvut, Eino Din Shadochara Shabbat. I think Hazah should also be Docha Shabbos. So I think the whole thing, so I think all the Durabanas you need for the Korban Pesach and the Hazah, that should all be permitted. So the top line on Samach Vavam and Aleph, Amar Lo Rabbi Akiva, Ochilof. So Rabbi Akiva says, maybe it's the other way around. Now, the Gemara is going to say that we don't know this yet, that Rabbi Akiva remembered that, knew that Rabbi Lezer had taught him that Hazah is not allowed on Shabbat. So he was trying to jog his memory. So he makes an argument. He says, Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, O chilf, maybe the other way around. Maim Hazah shehim yishum shvut, eino docha Shabbat. Maybe because Hazah is not docha Shabbat, shchita shem lacha eino din shlo tichet Shabbat. Certainly shchita shouldn't be docha Shabbos. So he says this sort of strange thing cryptically because he's trying to jog Reb Lezer's memory. So he says, Amar lo Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer said, Akiva, akarta mashtu b'torah. But then you're uprooting that which the Torah writes out. B'moado, bein b'chol, bein b'shabbat. The Torah says, "V'yasu b'nei Yisrael at a Pesach b'moado." They have to do it in a set time, whether it's a weekday or on Shabbat. So, obviously, docha Shabbos. Amar lo, Rebbe, haveli moed la'elu k'moed l'shchita. He says, prove to me that there's a moed. In other words, the only thing I think is docha is the shechita and the things that were in the Mishnah. But the drabanans, it's not, the moed didn't have to be done today. You could have done it earlier. You could have brought the animal here early. You don't have to bring it now. And you cut off the wart before Shabbos. Klalamar Rabbi Akiva, kol malacha shef shalos tamir of Shabbat, inu docha of Shabbat. Any malacha that could have been done before Shabbat, it's not going to be docha Shabbat. Shechita she of shalos tamir of Shabbat, docha of Shabbat. The shechita you couldn't do before, that will be docha Shabbat. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did? Okay, I think I'm going to call it a day here. All right, let me just end the recording. One second. Let me see. They keep changing all my things. I've got to find it. Where is this thing? Oh, here it is. Okay.